From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's that time of year again. Many of the people in Illinois who celebrate Christmas have gotten their trees up over these past few weeks. And if you haven't already and you're looking for a real tree, well, there's still time if you can get to one of the Christmas tree farms that hasn't already closed its doors for the season. Alternatively, you might spring for an artificial tree. We asked our texting group about this subject, and we heard from a number of you on this, like Yvonne in Bloomington, who told us, "I grew up on a small farm in Wisconsin. We always had real trees from our own woods, including us kids having tiny trees in our own rooms. Since my kids are grown, we've had artificial trees, not as messy and no maintenance, such as watering, which I truly appreciate now that I'm classified as elderly. Grandchildren don't mind one way or the other. Pretty much how I felt as a kid myself. The joy was just being at the grandparents' house." The general consensus this year is most people who want to find a tree should be able to get one, though a bit more searching may be required. But like last year, inflation means if you can get your hands on a tree, you'll probably be paying more for it. In an interview with the USDA last month, Tim O'Connor of the National Christmas Tree Association said to expect prices to be up about 5 to 10%.
Fuel's up 70%, fertilizer's up 300%, labor, equipment, parts, you name it, everything that a grower purchases are up.
Well, joining us now to talk more about the market and for Christmas trees and how it's looking this year is Robert Richardson, president of the Illinois Christmas Tree Association, co-owner of Richardson Farm in Spring Grove, Illinois. Rob, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Also with us is Bill Inks. He's the owner of AB Hatchery and Garden Center in Bloomington. Bill and his team sell hundreds of trees on their lot every year. Bill, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Brian. Pleasure to be here.
Listeners, as usual, we'd like to hear from you on this, though our conversation is going to move quickly, so get your calls in now. When did you start your Christmas tree search this year, if indeed you have started it? Was it challenging finding a tree? Were you surprised by what you paid? 800-222-9455 is the number to call us today. 800-222-9455. So, Bill, I want to start off with you on this. Just talk a little bit about the different kinds of trees that theoretically people can choose from if they do decide they want a Christmas tree.
Sure. So the Fraser fir still tends to be the number one tree, at least in our market in central Illinois here. Although we are seeing a lot of increased demand for the Cannon fir, which is a newer variety that kind of has some similar qualities to a balsam and a Fraser fir. You know, we always sell some white pine trees. We get a few of the Scotch pine in still as an old favorite, and get some balsam firs too. So the balsam hasn't completely disappeared yet.
Are there any advantages or disadvantages to these other than just aesthetic preference?
Well, yeah, they all have their different advantages. It kind of depends on what you're looking for out of a tree. I think the reason the Fraser is still the best seller is it's the good combination of needle retention and a good smell, and that's, you know, that standard Christmas tree look. The white pines are nice because they do tend to have a little bit less allergen problems for people that have allergies to live trees and plants inside their house. The softer needles hold really well on the tree. Can't support a lot of ornament weight. So there's, you know, trade-offs to them.
Trade-offs,
Yep.
Yeah, you don't get those little, I get those little red specks on my arms when I put lights in a real, so to speak, tree. All right, Rob, I want to bring you into the conversation now. So insofar as there is a shortage at all, what is the big picture on that this year?
Well, I think it's becoming, there's more and more trees are available every year. And the last couple of years, it's been a little bit of a challenge. My personal opinion is that because, as Bill mentioned, the Fraser fir is kind of the number one tree. And I kind of think some of the shortages are not so much as a Christmas tree shortage as it is a Fraser fir shortage. Many places can't grow Fraser firs. I'm not sure how you do down in central Illinois. I know it's getting kind of iffy down there whether you can grow them or not. I'm in northern Illinois, and I can grow Fraser firs, but they don't thrive here. They kind of like a higher elevation, a little cooler summers, and so they're native to the Carolinas, West Virginia, northern Wisconsin, and Michigan. They can grow them nicely, but other places have a little bit hard time getting the Frasers. So that's one of the problems, is that they just don't grow every place for everyone.
Is that a climate change story? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is that a climate change story?
No, not so much. No. It's just what the tree prefers. It has always preferred, you know, it's native to the mountainous areas of Carolina. And so that's just kind of where it grew up. It will grow other places, but just not quite as well or quite as fast. And so there are alternatives to the Fraser. The Canaan, as Bill mentioned, is one of them. It's kind of a cousin to the Fraser, but it grows, for me, it's kind of my money tree. Over half the trees that we plant are Canaans because they'll grow very nicely here. They're nice and full, but they look almost identical to a Fraser. So there's alternatives to it. Before I forget, sure. I was going to mention, he talked about white pine being somewhat hypoallergenic. And that is true in that my family has a couple of allergies, and any other tree other than a white pine, they would get cold within a couple of days. Until one of our customers told us about the concolor fir. It's a fir tree. It's not as available in a lot of places as some of the others, but it also tends to be hypoallergenic also. And so it has kind of a longer needle than the standard fir. It almost looks like a Scotch pine.
Right.
A lot of farmers have stopped growing Scotch pines, and so I think the concolor is going to kind of take over that market.
Interesting shift. All right, so we heard about where some of these trees like to grow. Bill, where do your Christmas trees come from every year?
Well, yeah, like you said, the North Carolina premium Fraser firs are what we sell the most of. And so, yeah, it tends to be North Carolina. It gives me 80 to 90% of the trees we're going to sell in a season. I do make trips up to Michigan. In fact, I made several this year to pick up, the Canaan firs and then also some white pines and some balsam firs from up there. And then, honestly, I've got good relationships with a lot of the tree farms within 100 miles of the store. So, I actually made a trip down to, about Arthur, Illinois, a couple weeks ago to trade some trees with a gentleman down there that had too many big ones and not enough small ones. So,
interesting. So how have sales been this year?
They were very fast this year. I think, you know, people have kind of gotten used to this tree shortage we've been going through for a while now. And we do a holding program for our customers so they realize they can come in, you know, the day our trees come in early or in middle November and pick out a tree, and then we're going to put it in the back and hold it and wait to fresh cut it until they're ready for it, you know, around the first or middle of December. So, but yeah, we went through, my trees came in the Tuesday before Thanksgiving this year, a little later than we prefer. And by the end of that first weekend, we had gone through about 65% of the trees.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Christmas tree season. A lot of you probably already have your trees up. Maybe you're still in the market for it. Act fast, we're hearing. There have been brisk sales this year. As you know, and Christmas tree farming is one of those things that you can't just plant one and grow it in a single season. This takes years of planning. Droughts many years in the past can affect the harvest. Years into the future. We're talking about this with Bill Inks, who's the owner of AB Hatchery and Garden Center in Bloomington, and Robert Richardson, president of the Illinois Christmas Tree Association, also co-owner of Richardson Farm in Spring Grove, Illinois. And Rob, I want to ask you, just how are tree farms doing across the state, generally speaking?
I think generally we're in pretty good shape. It seems like, you know, most of the growers are fairly small. They're selling several hundred or maybe 1,000 or 1,500 trees, and they're able to keep up. It's kind of a second or a hobby job for a lot of farmers, but we're able to, well, we can't keep up with the demand, I guess is what I should say. We can't grow them fast enough. There's demand for live trees, and as you said, it takes a while to grow them, and we're trying to catch up a little bit. And the last couple of years, we've kind of gotten behind the ball a little bit, and so that's kind of exasperated the shortage, as we want to call it. But I think we're going to catch up. I'm starting to see there's more trees available now. Whether we'll ever get back to the days that people remember when there was a Christmas tree lot on every corner and all the churches and Boy Scouts were selling trees, and at the end of the season, half of them were disposed of. I don't think we'll ever get to that point again, but I think to find a tree will become easier and easier as time goes on.
Can you just briefly paint us a picture of the work that goes into a tree farm, Rob, of preparing for the Christmas season every year?
Well, sure. Well, first of all, we have to wait into springtime when the ground has dried out a bit that we can work up the ground and get it ready for planting. We've already pre-ordered our seedlings, and basically about a year ahead of that, you order the seedlings. If it's on a piece of ground that's had trees previously, there's going to be stumps out there, so we have to get rid of the stumps. We use a stump grinder and grind out the stumps. We tend to plant in blocks. Many farms that are kind of short on space, they may interplant individual trees next to the old stump. But however you do it, springtime we start our plantings. We buy seedlings generally, and they'll be 2 or 3 years old, and then we get those planted. Once they're planted, we have to take care of them, and that is primarily keeping the weeds down. And so most of us use herbicides to keep the weeds, and we'll have to spray 2 or maybe even 3 times, depending on weed pressure. As the trees grow, we're going to start to take care of them a little bit more. And next year, we'll come back and make sure that they have a proper leader growing. Sometimes that gets damaged or just doesn't develop properly. And we can, if we need to, we can kind of make another leader by bending up one of the lateral branches and tie it to a stick. Don't have to do it too often, but that is something that we keep an eye on. As the tree grows, we start to trim them more and more. Wholesalers don't so much. As a retailer, I trim the bottoms of those trees. Oftentimes when we plant, there's branches that are starting either at or near ground level. And as that tree grows, those branches will not grow up with the tree. They're just going to grow out and get bigger. And so a lot of farms will leave those on. Doesn't hurt the tree, obviously. But I'm going to cut off those bottom sets of branches so that it lets the air circulate underneath there a little bit better. Helps keep some of the diseases down. And then also when it comes time for the customer to cut down that tree, you can easily get underneath there without having to fight through the branches. Yeah. So after a couple of years, we're going to start to trim the bottoms. And then as they grow, we have to make sure that they're growing properly. And also sometimes they grow too fast. The leaders in particular could be 2 or 3 or even 4 feet long. And so that would be kind of a tall, skinny, stretched out tree. So as a Christmas tree grower, I tend to slow the trees down just a little bit. And that's generally around, well, at least 1 foot to 16 inches is kind of what we aim at here.
Wow. Who knew there was so much that goes into this? I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're just so tight on time.
That's right.
We did get an email question from Larry. So bottom line, how long does it take to grow a Christmas tree to sell? How many years are we talking?
Well, pines will grow faster than firs will, but the most popular tree is a fir or a spruce. And generally it's going to take 7, 8, 9 years to get them up to about 7 or 8 feet tall. So basically, it's about 1 foot a year once they start growing. The first couple of years, they don't grow very fast, and then they'll start to grow faster, but then also I'm going to slow them down a little bit, too, so they don't grow too fast.
Yeah.
Pines will grow another year or two faster than that.
Wow. All right.
So white pine or a Scotch pine
sure.
Fairly quick growing.
Bill, in the time we have remaining, I do also want to ask you about artificial trees, which are obviously popular as well as natural trees. What have you been hearing about that market this year?
Well, yeah, we do sell a few artificial trees in our store. The big issue this year wasn't just inflation with that, but the cost of shipping from overseas was tremendous this year. A typical container costs about $5,000 to $6,000 to bring into the country, and this summer we were looking at prices over $30,000 a container. And when you're talking about something like an artificial tree that's got a lot of empty space in the box, the shipping, you know, it has to be borne somewhere, and tends to be added to the price of those trees. So yeah, we were seeing increases in artificial trees and wreaths in the neighborhood of 100 to 150% in some distributors. So luckily we stock several years supply and didn't have to invest too much into those high priced trees this year. And I know you could still go around and probably find a $100 artificial tree from Walmart. Of course, you know, what quality will you get for that? But,
right.
But yeah, no, that, and I think that drove some of the live sales this year too, when people were shopping in October and November, seeing the prices of those trees at the Jeffrey Allens and Lowe's of the world, that, yeah, maybe this is the year we go live to save some money.
I gotta say, we have an artificial tree. We've had it for a number of years. I have now replaced just about every strand of lights on that tree over the years. I'm sure another one is burning out as
forever,
we are talking now. No, they sure don't.
Last
question, only about 20 seconds. If people are still looking, Bill, is there still time?
Yep. We're still got about 10 to 15% of our tree stock left. Just don't, you know, everything over 7 feet is going to be gone at this point. So,
all right. So you're not going to be putting the department store centerpiece tree, but you can still get something. All right. I want to thank Bill Inks, who's the owner of AB Hatchery and Garden Center in Bloomington, and Robert Richardson, co-owner of Richardson Farm in Spring Grove and president of the Illinois Christmas Tree Association. Rob, Bill, thanks so much for being with us. Happy holidays to both of you.
Well, thank you for having us, and think real.
Think real. All right. That's good advice for life in general, isn't it? We're going to continue the 21st show in just a moment. We're going to be talking with Illinois-based writer Sonali Dev. She's got a new novel out. It's called The Vibrant Years. That's coming up. Stay with us.